Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want to make sure, I never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do, especially on a day where I'm a little fired up. And I never want to put God in the box. So I want to do this because I don't know how it's going to go down at the end of service. But I do want to honor this picture, and I want to pray for this family. So if we have that team, hopefully. It's the firefighter that passed away. Okay? Mama's due in March. And this little girl doesn't have a daddy. But this is what church is all about. Because today he's been driven down in a processional. It's going to be the most incredible thing. If you want to see what honor is, get on a freeway. He's coming down from Ventura at 10 a.m. He'll be passing by Escondido Mall, North County Mall, at 1:40, driving down the 15. He was a brave warrior fighting these fires. I'm telling them, we need to pray for our firefighters. We need to pray for Santa Barbara right now. And I want to pray for this family that we can be the church. You know, she worked for someone in our church at a hair salon, the hot seat in East County. And she recently doesn't work there now because they just moved to San Marcos. But I'm telling you, you never know what that's like, especially being a daddy of a little girl. And I want to see some miracles happen up in this family. I want them to know God's love and God's goodness. And that's why we're praying. So just, you know, lift up your hands to the Lord right now. Heavenly Father, God, we honor this mighty hero, Corey Iverson. God, we lift him up right now to you, Lord. God, thank God that he knows you. But God, I pray for every firefighter on the front right line right now for a hedge of protection. But God, I pray for the ones that don't know you, that will have a come to Jesus meeting today so they know you. And this nation starts turning our hearts back towards you, God. But God, let this hero be remembered today. God, we pray a hedge of protection around this family right now for a supernatural peace beyond all understanding. God, let them feel your goodness, your love. Let them feel that they're in the center of the palm of your hand. That God, the church rises up and blesses this family today, this Christmas season. Let them still know why we're celebrating, even in their grieving and their loss. Let a supernatural Thanksgiving come over this family. God, we lift them up as a church. We raise them up and we honor you today. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for that. We will have buckets at the door. On your way out of service today, if you want to drop, 100% of it will go to them. They have a GoFundMe, but I don't know. GoFundMe takes some stuff. I'd rather just bless them directly from the house. So we'll have the doors. Church, you guys can take a seat. We're going to get into this thing. Come on. Worship team, you guys are incredible. If you play too long, I might just fall out under the anointing. Let me take my herbal spray. Come on. Come on, I'm telling you, I haven't had a day off. I land to Israel, and it's been like a butt kicking ever since. Anybody else feel the same way, or am I the only one? I've never been to so many Christmas parties in my life. I was like, babe, I cannot go to another Christmas party. I had to duck out early on my own last night. Horrible. Horrible, I'm telling you what. Well, I am fired up to be and honored to be standing in this pulpit. Anytime that, you know, we get a chance to stand up here, you got to know that we have some of the greatest pastors in the world, Pastor Juergen and Leanne, and to be able, I mean, I think they're crazy to let me get behind this pulpit, but yeah, I know he hears from God, so whatever. You know, it's amazing. And after coming back from Israel, kind of It ups the game a little bit. You know, I've been a Christian my whole life. I mean, a pathetic one the first 30 years. And then I had my, like, Peter come to Jesus moment. And then, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, coming to C3. And man, it's amazing. One encounter with God, you start thinking different, start doing different. It's really what I'm preaching on today. We'll see what happens. Because I woke up with a sense, I already knew what I was going to preach, and then Holy Spirit really jacked me up this morning. Started telling me about everyone struggling with fear and depression. I'm like, how can we, man? The Christmas music, Lord. It's amazing. If you saw my post, you'll know what I'm talking about. But it's the power of a moment that I want to talk about, because it's amazing that we can give into what we think are is our emotion of fear, but the Bible says fear is a spirit. And so sometimes we got to wake up, and if we feel the fear creaking up, we got to shout it down with some praise. We got to get our praise up. And so the title of my message is, I don't know, Training Day or Training Something. I've changed it 10 times. What is the title of my message? Training Camp Christianity. What do you know? Perfect. Honestly, I was like, God, what are you doing to me? And I had fear in here, but then I woke up and I said, you know what? As a church, we have to declare against fear and depression. We got to make a declaration as a church that I declare I'm coming against that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I'm tired of my brothers and sisters getting intimidated. And what happens is, whether it's loneliness, all depression, the end of it is, it started with a disappointment. Someone or something let you down. It leads to depression, which then stirs up fear. And so the reason I'm here, we have to start declaring, devil, get off me. I break that spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you today, if that's what you're feeling, whether it's fear, disappointment, depression, anxiety due to the holidays, we need to remember that the holidays, this is the greatest holiday. This is when our Savior was born. Yet it's the greatest prescription med for anxiety and depression. The highest month is the month of December. So that's how what we're declaring today, and that's what we're going to bust off ministry time at the end. Because you're not leaving here the same way you walked in. I refuse to live like I did 30 years and let you walk in that pathetic Christianity. So it's Training Day Christianity. We're going to get into it. So let me read out of the good word, because that's what it is. Do we have that picture of the Sea of Galilee? Maybe. Look at this. That's our boat. That could be from a drone. Look at this, on the Sea of Galilee. And I'm telling you, it rocked my world. Come on, look at Chittick, just getting his praise on right there. I love it. They raised the American flag for us. They played worship music. It was a surreal moment for me. Because I read so many stories about Peter walking on water, about Peter going out and letting down his fish. And then I'm on the Sea of Galilee, on a boat with people I love, worshiping my Savior. Kind of wrecked me. And then all the stories about history, what went down on the Sea of Galilee, started coming up for me. All the miraculous. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. I was going to push Pastor John off the boat and see if he could walk on water. He's a little bit more ripped than me, but we were close. When we go back, I'm thinking I'm going to do it, so pray for me. He's always saying, I got the faith for it. I'm like, well, good. I'll give you the nudge for it. It's what friends are for. Listen, so I'm reading out of Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. And this is the power of a moment when Peter recognizes a greater purpose in his life. But it starts off a little irritated. So chapter 5. So it was, where am I? Come on, here it is. I can't even read my own Bible. So it was, the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked them to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught to the multitudes from the boat. When he'd stopped speaking, he turned to Simon, "Launch into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered him and said, what are you talking about? He said, Master, teacher, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done so, they caught the great number of fish and their net was breaking. They signaled to the other partners in their other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so much so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It has come to Jesus moment right there. For he and all were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And also were with him James and John and the sons of Zebedee, and they were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for now you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsaked everything. They left it all and followed him. Let me pray real quick. God, we thank you for your word. Such deep revelation. Just give us a drop from heaven. Just open our hearts and our mind. Do what you're going to do, and you always do. Astonish us again, Lord. We give you gratitude and honor. Amen. So listen, here's what happened. Peter changes everything in a moment. And I'll get into it. He had a little bit of an attitude, but of course, this dude was just teaching on his boat. It's like if I stood on the step top of your car and just started preaching. Next thing you know, I'm telling you to get that car on the racetrack and give it a rip. You know, it's like, I'm the racer, okay? You know, Jesus is like, come on, get out there and do the fish. And they fished all night. But it doesn't really matter. I'm just telling you, in a moment, everything changed. So no matter what you're thinking today, it doesn't matter where you're at. It matters where you're going. It matters what are you going to think in a moment and step over the line. But if you're dictated by fear, fear is going to keep you right where you're at. And I have people say, oh, man, I want this, I want that. No, you don't. Because if you wanted it, you'd be there. And that's what it takes to get the courage to get over the line. And that's why I'm telling you, we got to break the spirit of fear. Because in a moment, you think Peter had fear in that moment? Yeah. Jesus said, be not afraid. He knew what Peter was going through. Peter, what I want to tell you is that you might be doing one thing in a job, one thing in a business, one thing in life, and in a moment, God might ask you to play bigger. He might ask you to increase your marketplace influence. He might ask you and say, you need to hire more. You need to stop that job because it's not what I have for you. Step into this new job. Let that old thing go because I've called you to be an entrepreneur. But if we let fear and the enemy get in our ear, we stay the same. But in a moment, we can be afraid and take a step anyways when we hear Jesus say, be not afraid. And so what happens is I want us to find significance versus sacrifice. Wow. It's an amazing thing, and you'll understand, because things we truly desire are often packaged inside things we don't want. Let me explain that. I want to look ripped like Pastor John. I just don't want to work out as much as he does. I want to be healthy, but I love pizza. I mean, I want to be a billionaire. I just don't want to work that hard. That's true, I do. It's true. That was for somebody else. But I want the blessing of God. I just don't want to be obedient. I want financial breakthrough. I don't want to tithe. So things we truly desire often packaged inside things we don't want. So we have to define sacrifice. It's giving up something of immediate value for something unknown. Peter was in a moment, the greatest catch of his life. To give it all up, that's all he's ever known. To follow this guy that was just a teacher a few minutes ago, but after the miraculous catch, he knew he was his savior. He went from teacher to Messiah in a moment. See, some of us know the word is a good teaching, but we do know it's creation. Do we know that it's power? Do we know that there's healing in the word? The word was God and is God. This is healing. How bad do we want it? So emotions stop us. That's why I was on the fear. There's seven fears that lead to seven habits. And we know that if we think they're an emotion, we'll just tolerate them. But when we understand it's a spirit, we can break them. So real quick, and I've taught this before, this part of it, but we're going to go in deeper. So seven fears lead to seven habits. The fear of loss ends in the expression or the habit is laziness. The fear of judgment leads to being unorganized. The fear of acceptance leads to being passive. The fear of rejection leads to being inconsistent. The fear of failure ends up leading to worry. Fears of being successful, the fear of success, there is one, is being too casual, cavalier. The fear of the unknown is the habit of second-guessing yourself. And like I said before, we have to start declaring that we're going to break those fears, which are keeping it out of us, our destiny and our purpose. Come on, how many are with me today? Come on. Don't take too many notes if you're not going to shout me down. Come on. And if I have that like ugly face, it's just because I'm like, what? I just haven't slept in a week. So I'm not mad. To find significance, the quality of being worthy of attention, importance. You know, it's amazing. We just sometimes got to remind ourselves, I am a child of God. I am a child of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I am a child of God. See, when I remind myself I am a child of God, I'm the son of a king. You know what? All that stuff, all that worry about who's my supplier, how am I going to get through it, it all fades away. We just got to reposition ourselves that we're the son or daughter of a king. And it's amazing. So, dilemma. Every meaningful result requires a process. And if we let fear stay in our life, fear cripples the supernatural. So if you've been looking for the supernatural, but you're not seeing it, my thing is, what are the voices saying to you? Get around other people. That's why we have ministry after every service. Come down. I don't care if you came down every Sunday. If I knew you were breaking off one layer of fear, one belief that's not true about yourself every Sunday. Because let me tell you, when I came to this church, I cried on the altar 6 months in a row every Sunday to a point where I just thought I was an emotional wreck. But let me tell you, it broke stuff off me. It broke off beliefs. And if you would have told me back then, I'd be standing here preaching to you. I'd be like, you're crazy. But in a moment, God took me from a belief that all I am is a chiropractor, which I am passionate about, to no, you're more than that. You're more than that. You got to see yourself more than that, which I'm like, what are you talking about? But he peels back layers. He peels back layers. As fear gets broken off, new beliefs about yourself that line up with the word of God start to come to truth. And you start getting a little bit more bold, a little bit more brass, a little bit better with the equipment he's given you to break strongholds in your life. Yet sometimes, especially in Western church, we can let pride or ego or the man of God syndrome or, oh, I don't need anything, get us from not coming down to ministry time. But I'm telling you, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe church. You're in an environment that is love, and love casts out all fear. So what I want to teach you is that when we attach sacrifice to a process and significance to a result, it's human behavior. So we just think all these sacrifices. So I want to show you this movie clip real quick. And it's just about how something starts, and then we're going to develop it. So watch this clip.
You keep doubting yourself, Diane.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You are stronger than you believe. You have greater powers than you know. But if you don't try hard...
Diana!
Are you hurt?
No, Mother, I'm fine. I was just...
Training. It seems I'm not the revered queen I should be. Disobeyed. Betrayed by my own sister?
No, Mother, it was me. I asked her to...
Take her to the palace. Off you go.
You left me no choice, Hippolyta. You neglect your duty if she cannot fight.
You speak of a time that may never come. He might never return. He could have died from his wounds.
Ares is alive. You feel it as I do in your bones. It is only a matter of time before he returns.
The stronger she gets, the sooner he'll find her.
Hippolyta, I love her as you do. But this is the only way to truly protect her.
You will train her harder than any Amazon before her.
All right, pause it right there.
Five.
Come on. Listen, that's part one. Don't get too excited. We'll get to part two. But I'm training you. When she made the commitment, you will train her. You will fight. You will be the church that gets a boldness to pray for other people you don't know. You will go after marriages and prophesy that they'll be healed and restored. You're going to go after the lost that think they're too far gone, that they're not worthy, and show them what grace looks like. That's what training Christianity, the training ground, training camp Christianity looks like. And I'm telling you, what happened was she was a little girl that believed something. And as you'll see a little bit later, she grew up in a woman that knew something but didn't know how powerful she really was. See, each and every one of you have a power that you don't recognize how powerful you truly are with the love of God on the inside of you. My revelation was that I could have been a Christian just bouncing around, doing life, hitting a paycheck, getting a house, raising a family. But that's not what God's called us to. See, we're going to be the church. We're going to take ground. We're going to take buildings. We're going to take people. We're going to throw services on New Year's. We're going to put on productions like Twisted so 260 people could know who their Savior is. Man, so here's what I need you to understand. We have a calling. We must transform. There's four things here. We must transform tasks of sacrifice into acts of significance. So sometimes we can think, oh, serving on a team is an act of sacrifice. I got to come to church early. No. Not if it's to someone that's broken that was going to commit suicide and you loved them and smiled and gave them a hug. You know that's happened. And they didn't take their life and they sent a report in. All they needed was a hug. And they got it at the front door of our church. So when you're thinking it was a sacrifice to get up early, let's just put it to an act of significance. Because you're doing more than you could possibly understand. Our Twisted team sacrificed for the last, hundreds of hours. But was it worth it for the 260 people that now know who their Savior and will be in eternity forever? Every one of you have that gift on the inside of you. But the devil's going to try to keep you shackled, keep you bound, keep you broken. But God come to set us free. Number two, we must submit to the process. We will develop our gifts. It's amazing. Some people just want to attend church. That's fine. But you know when you serve in church, you start to see what comes up for you? Maybe frustration, people irritate you, facial expressions, whatever. You get to learn about yourself. And you start to grow. That's where growing happens. When you serve, you grow. That's the easiest way to put it. But there's a process to it. Why do we put on grow class, serve class? Why do we say you get? There's a process. You just don't walk in, all of a sudden you're like, I'm Captain America now. I just got saved. Thank you very much. No. There's a process. I don't get to go to the gym once and expect a six-pack. Well, the truth is, I do. I've been prophesying. That's a bad analogy for me because I'm going to stick to that. But it's true. You just don't go once and expect I'm going to be ripped. No, it's a process. Number three, we must learn to love the process more than the results. If you're doing it for the platform, you're doing it for the wrong reason. If you're doing it for the recognition, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Man, I was kind of vetting this guy because one of our girls is dating. I said, is this guy the real deal? I need to know because I actually like this young girl and I need to find out if he's, Christianese. And someone came to me and says, no, man, that guy's the real deal. He does stuff, but he never goes for the glory. I'm like, really? Because he's got kind of platform status. And he goes, no, man. Found out his tires were bald. And he went and bought him and said, you're not going to be driving around. Never asked for anything. Never did it. Never won penance. That's the kind of guy this guy is. It's amazing. He didn't want, you know, to be glorified up on the stage. No. The heart was, it's a heart of service. We must affirm the process. That's why we have God stories. That's why we have miracles, breakthroughs, wins. I want everyone to share their wins. It's not bragging. It's sharing what God's doing in your life. When someone gets radically healed in there, we're going to pull them up here like, what happened? Oh, you had cancer, now it's gone? Does anyone want to hear that? Celebrate the process. Reward the process. You'll see more behaviors of it. I'm telling you, on your teams, look for the gold. Pull it out. Dig it out. So why the purpose-driven life? Why in a moment should we just get inspired to do more? Here's why. 100% of our town needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ this Christmas. 100% of this town needs to hear it. 90% can actually understand the good news. 80% have an open mind about Jesus. I didn't say an open mind about Christianity. I didn't say an open mind about the church. I said an open mind to Jesus. You might be the only story they ever hear. 70% of our town is in pain or hurting. 60% of our town has tried to fill the hole with drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it may be to fill that. 50% of our town has at least told two other people about their pain. There's a world right outside these doors. I just look at empty seats going, that could be one more person up here in Carlsbad, San Marcos, Vista. Why does our pastor have a heart to buy the Descanso building? Because he knows these same stats right off a ministry website. So what about Peter? The story of Peter and the fish. Man, I think it's so profound. Sometimes we could just look over it. You know, he'd been working all night with his friends. They were totally frustrated. Shoot, I work 2 hours and I don't see the... you know, the return, I'm frustrated. But all night, they were cleaning their nets, which is another pain in the tail. Just for this dude that borrowed those boats, that was the teacher, in their mind, a good rabbi that was teaching just something fresh, said, go out and do it again. Yet, they're the professional fisherman. Who's this guy? He's a great teacher. But there was something about it. So he dutifully agrees. Even though the fish weren't cooperating, he says, fine, I'll go back out there. I'll show this guy. But what happens is, when that fish happens, he comes back in astonishment because he now has a different glimpse of who Christ is. See, I knew Jesus for 30 years, but I came here and got a new glimpse of who my Savior was. One that I actually get, man, I could probably go to church on twice on a Sunday. I've never done that before. Just going once was good enough for me, twice. And I think I could actually serve on the parking team. Thank you, Parkers. It's where it all started. Just like this. But I'm telling you, if you would have told me I was serving in church, I'd be like, you're crazy. But I was single, and you never know. Maybe I had the wrong intentions. Just parking. No, you can park right here. Just park right here. You're fine. You're fine. I'll be right back. I'm going to walk you to the church. No. But it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish. Come on. Can I get an amen over that? That's what I'm talking about. Clearly, the apostles, everybody was odd. Listen, the biggest fish catch they've ever done. Today in Alaska, that would be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. They left it all in a moment because of something. Significance. They knew their life had a bigger purpose than them just cleaning and toiling fish nets the rest of their life. It's amazing because what started as sacrifice ended with a shift in purpose. Now, what do we got to do? We got to train. You say, I don't know. Then show up for men's prayer. Let God start to cultivate something. I don't know. Show up to women's prayer. Let God start to cultivate something. I don't know. Show up twice on a Sunday. Let God start to cultivate. I'll be honest with you. After this H-E double tail hell week, twice on a Sunday, I might go to, you know, another service at the 1 o'clock down at Central. You know, it's because I come to one back in the day to get all the slime wiped off me. I come back the second time at night to get filled so I could go out of my week. And I'm telling you, there's such a thing. So how do we grow with wherever we're at? Number one, you just grow. You get uncomfortable. All growth happens outside the comfort zone. So you get uncomfortable. And then you change. And then you improve. And then guess what you do? You do it again. But this time you grow, you change, you improve, and you get involved. Now you do it again, and you grow, you change, you improve, and you celebrate. And then you grow, you change, you improve, and you pay it forward. I'm telling you, it's not that many cycles of taking a caterpillar to a butterfly. God does the same thing in our hearts. He might show you something. Even sometimes he'll plant a seed that maybe someone can't handle. I had a great friend of mine come here, got offended his first Sunday. Okay? But he went back to wherever he went back to, and he couldn't handle it. Something was gnawing at him, so he had to come back for more. 6 months later. Came back for it, and now his heart was ready. He didn't realize he had so much offense in his spirit. But then he came in. See, what happens is I always looked at Peter as a hero. But you got to understand this. Remember, Peter left everything to go to the fear of the unknown. Jesus said, be not afraid. He left everything to follow Jesus. This is what's crazy. I'm thinking, man, Peter must have been a superhero. No. He made mistakes. He was still legalistic in his Judaism because he still was raised Jewish. So all sorts of things in the Bibles, Jesus had to correct him because his behavior was wrong. He didn't fully understand all the radical new teachings that Jesus was talking about. He was personally and severely chastised in both Matthew and Mark, two of the Gospels. Jesus kind of slapped him down and says, well, who are you? This is Peter, the guy that left everything to go after the unknown in fear. He was found sleeping instead of praying for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus needed him the most. And I love that Matthew, Mark, and Luke in all three Gospels shout him down, called him out. Like, you're like the greatest disciple, Jesus' inner circle, and his greatest time is need, you folded like a deck chair. See, even Jesus had bad friends, so get over some of ours. And the last one, he denied Jesus three times. We were standing in the center. There's a little crow still up there, a rooster. I'm telling you, denied Jesus three times, so-called his best friend. It was the top disciple. But thank goodness he got called out in all four Gospels. You know, so watch this second clip right here, because this is training and belief in yourself.
You're stronger than this, Diane. Again. Never let your guard down. You expect a battle to be fair. A battle will never be fair.
Bam. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. How many little bam faith in your life? Here's what I'm telling you. You can train. You can read the Word of God. You can pray. But if you don't got supernatural, come on. You don't know it yet, but if you don't got supernatural, that was the difference. The Holy Spirit needs to be operating in every one of our lives. We got to be a bold faith rising on the inside of me. Well, I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. You won't. You'll set them free. You'll get them healed. And I didn't know it was all about you anyways. Oh, sorry. Too far. Because here's what happened. Peter kept messing up. Peter messed it up over and over again. Jesus was crucified. He felt horrible. Fear came back over. What am I going to do? So he went back to what felt comfortable. And he went back to fishing. But in Mark 1, 16 through 18, there was a second catch. And Jesus showed himself to his disciples. And something shifted again in Peter. Gets me choked up to think about it, but this was the second time that he decided, I'm going to walk away. But this time, he listened to everything Jesus said. He waited in the upper room, and he received power. And he went out, and he turned the world upside down. He went out with a new level of boldness, a new level of revelation, a new level of truth. Every time you come to church, you should be getting a new level of revelation, a new level of truth. If you are feeling the same, living the same as you were a year ago, you're not pressing in hard enough. You got to tempt yourself. She was training over and over and over and over, and she was tough. But it wasn't until she got pressured, supernatural power came out. What are you going to do in a circumstance when someone needs you? Are you going to rely on another friend, a pastor? They're not answering their phone. That's what I did. But I had someone show up that prayed for my friend, Pastor John. He got radically healed. But I said, why couldn't I have done that? Will I be ready next time? What happens if my wife needs me? My kids need me? Am I going to, like, put someone on speed dial? Or is my faith going to rise up to what God's called me to step into? Peter got redeemed again after he saw Jesus come for that second miraculous catch. There was 153 fish in that catch. And then he went up. The resurrected Savior had breakfast with him right where I was standing on the beach in Israel. Powerful, another surreal moment. Peter raised his game. He raised his bar. Last night, I was like, God, I just want something. Because I realize if we don't got the supernatural in our life, what are we doing? If we don't allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, lead us, nudge us, protect us, show us what the revelation, the rhema word is right here, man, our Christianity's here and there's no judgment, but just step out and grow. Shift, change, do it again. I want to read this to you. 11:30 last night, this got posted. I'm going to try to get through it. And then I'm going to pray for some people. But I want to show you, this is a real thing that happened from a real man I know, great friends with Morgan Irvin that plays Jesus on the cross during our Hero production. One of his closest friends, and I know him as well, posted this last night. A man died tonight in front of my eyes in a gate in Miami Airport, but the story didn't end there. Part of my crew and I were waiting to be let down onto our plane at the gate next to him. The man was talking to the agent when he fell backwards and hit his head on the ground. He convulsed in either a seizure or just from having an apparent heart attack. A man right next to him checked his vitals and yelled, he's dead, he's gone, as the man lay completely still. I was close enough to see the light. It left his eyes. He turned dark. Someone yelled, start CPR. I was in shock. Two young girls were right there and jumped in as one of my flight attendants and I were with them. The girls and then my colleague checked them again. No heartbeat, no breathing. They continued with CPR as I ran to find an AED. Our emergency equipment was on the plane, but the agents wouldn't let me go get it. So I ran all through the airport. I found one. I broke the glass. I brought it back. We hooked them up to it and we used it. The whole time that this was going on, a man from Africa, who happened to be standing next to the guy when he fell, was standing over the man, praying with authority. Yeah. Come on, happy face. Come on, where is it? Hold on, we're gonna get it. So powerful. Was standing over this man praying very loudly with authority over him in English and some other kind of tongues I didn't know. I couldn't tell. He kept speaking life into this man. In the name of Jesus. His voice was so powerful. I can't even explain it. He kept praying against death in this man. And he said, not today. He kept repeating, no, you will not die today. Over and over and over he prayed. At one point, as the four of us females were sitting there kneeling, and myself attending to him, the African man and I made eye contact. I nodded, like in agreement with his authority in the name of Jesus. Another man with a cane started praying. Paramedics were immediately called, but it took them 45 minutes to get there. We didn't know what was going on. This man kept praying, kept commanding. He never left the man's side. The vitals were still nothing. 25 minutes later, the man was still praying. The darkness, immediately something happened. A shift happened. The darkness left his eyes. He was literally light again. He started moving and breathing. We felt a pulse, but a pulse, an erratic pulse, but a pulse nonetheless. He had seriously come back to life before my eyes. 25 minutes dead, and he was alive. Since this man is now in recovery ward, I ran to find oxygen. I put oxygen on him. The paramedics finally came and took over. They looked at him. He started coming back to life. Everything came back to normal. I found the elderly man with the cane that stood behind us and prayed and thanked him. He and his wife actually were there on our flight to Dallas. I asked him where the other man was, the African man, and he said that was a pastor from Africa. He went to his gate. He walked over there to the wrong gate, and this happened, but there are no accidents. My crew and I boarded our flight to Dallas. I've never had time to process until today, until right now. I witnessed with my own eyes a miracle of biblical proportions last night. This man was apparently completely gone, but came back to life in front of my face. The whole color, everything. He was able to get released and get on his plane to go home. I've been questioning lately in my life, does it really have a purpose and a meaning? If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Last night, I witnessed my first miracle. I'm stepping my game up. I'm telling the story. This is not me pushing my spiritual beliefs on you, but to let you know, I'm stepping out to a new level that God has for me. I'm going to believe in the supernatural. I'm going to believe that others can get healed, that others can be raised from the dead. I'm so thankful that a family in Ecuador has their loved one with them for Christmas. Come on. That supernatural power of our Savior that was born this Christmas. And I'm telling you what, it may make you feel uncomfortable, but I'm telling you, thank God for that man that stood and refused to let death take him. Listen, just take a seat for a second. Everyone just bow your head and close your eyes. If you don't know your Savior, if you don't know our Father in heaven, that created you, formed you, knit you, put you together, wove you together. You don't know the destiny and the plan. You've never had an intimate relationship with him. I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you right now. I want you to experience the love that your Father, Abba Father, has for you today. Any of you in this place today that I could pray for to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can just lift up your hand, and I'm going to count you in my prayers. I see your hands right here, this whole row right here. Thank you. Once your hand is raised, you can put it down. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else? Great. I'm going to have my team come to this family. Afterwards, we want to pray with you, give you a Bible, pray for the supernatural, pray for healing, restoration. Cancer is melted in the name of Jesus. Angels are celebrating right now. When we turn our heart towards God, he shows favor over us. He's always there for us. So this sweet young lady is going to give you a book called Next. It's called Following Jesus. It's about what's next. I recommend getting baptized, not sprinkled. Make it be a personal decision. And then we'll pray with you afterwards. But I also, for the rest of the church, I want to open up the altar. If you've been letting fear, anxiety, depression, disappointment keep you where you're at, I want you to come down the altar. And I'm going to say a prayer right now. We're going to break bondages. We're going to break that stuff off right now. You can just come on down right now. If that's anybody here, Listen, I believe in a next level church. I believe in a supernatural church. I believe that you don't need to be afraid of the gifts. If you're hungry for what God has, sometimes we just need a nudge. That's why it's called the altar. It's where God can alter us to the next level. When I was in Israel, I heard a pastor say, if you're a pastor here and you're not going after supernatural things, what are you doing? Teaching a good word? They got Google for that. It challenged me. It made me question myself, am I bold enough to go after it? And I know the heart of our pastor, Pastor Jurgen, is never afraid to go after the supernatural things in this world. With the power of Jesus, all things are possible. So I'm going to pray right now for each and every one of you. You can stay as long as you want in the ministry until the next service kicks you out. But just soak in his presence right now. Heavenly Father, God, you see the hearts of your sons and daughters right here. God, you're nudging us to step out in a greater faith, a boldness, God, not a weird Christianity, Lord, but a sweet perfume. Heavenly Father, touch him, Lord. Touch him with your power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Touch us right now, Lord, Heavenly Father, right now.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.